I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. We're about to have a conversation with the man who's back in town. Well, he never really left town, but for a while he left where he was, and he's back on the pages again. The cartoonist is back. Cal is in the studio. Good to see you, man. Welcome.
Mark, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
So how's it feel to be working for the Sun again?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, it was kind of a bit of a surprise. I'm actually really enjoying it, in part because I've had this wonderful hiatus for 6 years, which I've been able to do amazing amount of cool stuff. Yeah, it's a long time. And it was it allowed me to go and venture into all new areas, which in this kind of changing landscape of media, digital media, allowed me to kind of get right into the meat of it. So that was exciting.
You're working on this three-dimensional stuff and at UMBC and all those other things.
I've been doing lots of different projects, which I'll be glad to share with you a bit. But going just back to the Sun, going back to that world, when I go into the Sun building now, I see that considering as we know all the things that have gone on at that paper and papers around the country, that I'm kind of glad that I'm not in there every day. It's really a hard business now being in a newspaper. But I'm enjoying the opportunity to get my my thoughts and my ideas back and re-engage in a conversation with the citizens of Maryland again on the local issues. This is an enormous amount of fun.
How many days a week are your cartoons coming out now?
Just one day for the Sun.
And, Sunday?
Just every Sunday. And I'm doing my cartoons for The Economist every week, which is great, and some other freelance projects and doing animation as well.
So I was looking at some of the cartoons you've had up there since. I was looking at the last one you did for them where all the politicians were just gleefully cheering that you were walking out the door.
Right.
Being shown the door.
That's right. My last cartoon for The Sun.
They don't like being caricatured, do they?
Well, I completely understand why. I mean, you know, you take someone's most prized possession, which is their face, and somebody is there pulling it apart, you know, sticking needles in it, you know, and not only just are they kind of addressing, you know, their vanity, but then they're also going after what they believe, because a good cartoon is about a story and it's about a comment. It's not just about making fun of somebody. So, boy, and you're using ridicule. You know, as your kind of – as your vehicle. So, yes. Do they not like the cartoons, you know, almost
without the cursing?
Yes, without the cursing. Without a lot of stuff, I think, for Bill Maher. But the other thing too, Mark, which I found so interesting when I came to Baltimore, in contrast to my work when I was in the UK, is that local politicians have not too many people poking satire at them. If you're on a national stage, you kind of expect it.
Right.
But when you have, you know, a mayor, a governor, and important people here suddenly seeing their faces in the paper, man, you do get reaction. And then you understand that your role in the discussion locally can be really profound and fun.
I mean, your role really is to, on the one hand, be to in a satirical sense, pillory the politicians. But with some kind of analysis to go with it, that you try to come through the few words you throw in there in the cartoons themselves.
Yeah, you've got that. I'd like to think, Mark, you know, I love, for example, listening to your show and paying attention to other folks. They inform me about the important things in the world. And I don't think that I can say anything more profound than the kind of things that is said on this program. But what I do have is I have a different vehicle for that by using pictures that can be absorbed in a matter of seconds, a notion that you could be doing something slightly humorous as well.
Right.
People are come to you kind of open-minded. They're only going to invest 10 or 15 seconds, so they're going to give you a chance. And so I have this kind of amazing, you know, kind of vehicle that I can use for my things, but I really don't think I'm you know, maybe I'm not as profound as many of the great commentators in the area. But I do have this amazing tool.
It is profound. I think a lot of stuff that comes out there. I mean, as an editorial cartoonist, the operative word "editorial" in some ways, or the descriptive adjective, however you want to look at it, whichever side you come from, is that you have a point of view. You're taking a position. It's not just trying to say, "Well, this side says this and this side says that."
Right.
You're saying, "This is how I see this situation, and that's why I drew it this way. That's why I used the words that I used.
Mm. Yes, and I also – I like to think, Mark, when I'm sitting down trying to come up with ideas, I like to hope I'm saying being not an astute observer of the obvious. You know,
right.
You want to be able to try to find things that are going to tweak somebody's imagination and thoughts and reflect for a little while on a subject. That's the best you can hope for.
Well, I mean, some of the ones you've done, you've only done like – how many have you done, like four or
five? I think
four
for the Sun so far, yeah.
So I'm looking at the ones you've just done. One of the most clever ones, I thought, was Hercules.
Yes.
And the Herculean task it is
right.
to pass a bill through the state legislature.
Exactly. Well, a funny story. Cartoons, where do you get your ideas from is a question that people often ask. And I had always been in conversations with many people and was always surprised about how – you know, what a labyrinth it was to try to get anything done in Annapolis for your average citizen. And because in the past 6 years I have been an average citizen rather than a member of the local media, I could understand the frustration perhaps a little bit more. So I thought, you know, I need to show people through cartoons how to get this done. But I was on an airplane from England to Baltimore the day before I was to draw this. And I hadn't yet kind of worked out how I was going to capture this lunacy. And I was watching one of the silly films on the airplanes as you have. And it was this film Immortals, which I highly do not recommend anyone see. Don't waste any money in this film. But it was all kind of taking place back in ancient Greece. And as I was watching this kind of idiocy, I thought, this would be perfect for a cartoon. And so I immediately went out to my drawing table and started to sketch the thing up. And I really enjoyed that one.
The double bobble-headed monsters of the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House.
That's right.
Confronting Hercules.
That's right.
Now, one of the things you did, the piece that you drew – I'm what it says to you about these men when you drew the death match of the Republican primary, and you have Mitt Romney, the android whose weapon is flip flop, and Rick the Reverend Santorum, his weapon is the leap of faith, though he lands too far right, and the rotund blowhard, Professor Gingrich, and his weakness is the blow back.
Mm.
I mean, this is.
Well, for me, the I tell folks the difference between being a comic strip artist, where every day you have just what four or five characters, and you have to be funny every day
right.
for the rest of your life. By the way, on the same characters. But for the editorial cartoonist, the politicians do all the writing for me. You know, they are putting on this constant cabaret of which
they
I'm
do.
Kind of just you know framing it in a different light.
They do. I mean, they get. There's a lot of fodder here with this Republican primary.
You know, it is. It's been an interesting year, but we're living in some historic times. I mean, we only have to think back from 9/11 till present time. The past decade has just been full of all sorts of curious and crazy things going on. I came into this business, Mark, I think a little bit after you. I was just a youngster during the Vietnam War. But I remember coming of age and looking at the cartoon work created during that kind of historic period. And I kept on saying to myself, oh, man, wouldn't it have been cool to be a cartoonist in those days doing all this, you know, changing world, big stories, and blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't it be cool? And I have to tell you, now that we're living that world, I'm thinking, oh, this is really bad. I mean, you're to witness and be part and of seeing all these things going on in the world. It's scary. It's nerve-wracking. So, but I do have a great through cartooning a way to get my ideas out there, and I find that's very therapeutic.
And it's good for us. I mean, I think that when you said about the world we are with the world now. I mean, one of the things I think about this morning and last night was just how many people are comparing this period to 1968 because of the youth revolutions taking place across the globe. And how young people are being so adversely affected by this economy, 50% unemployment rates, 80% unemployment rates among young people across the globe, and why that's fueling everything from the Arab Spring to Occupy to Spain to Greece. It's
absolutely.
I mean, this is it is a scary time.
Mm, it is. It's an interesting time. You know, Mark, one of the things I've had great fun things I've done in the past 6 years has been an artist in residence at UMBC and working with a lot of the great students there. And it's been interesting to see how even in those 6 years, how the sort of the general student bodies, I think, have become more aware of what's going on in the world. I think started in the 2008 campaign with the Obama election and how that, you know, galvanized a lot of interest. And now, of course, as they're trying to get out into the workforce and then we've been seeing right. how bad and ugly things are out there. It's an interesting time for this next generation.
So when you took clearly took particular umbrage at Rush Limbaugh,
yeah,
and what he said, and what you think that this is doing to the Republicans.
Mm. Well, when I was looking to do a cartoon on the subject, I knew a lot of my colleagues how they would respond, and this is actually something that. With the internet, you're very aware of what everybody else is doing. And I do one cartoon a week, and I was approaching the subject about a week after the story broke. And rather than sort of saying, oh, I think Rush Limbaugh was a really bad guy, you know, this was a stupid thing to say, I wanted to put in a larger context and what it means. And what I'm finding that as I get older, one of the benefits of age is wisdom, hopefully.
Hopefully.
And so that you find that I'm trying to say more with my cartoons rather than just the obvious point. So I decided in the cartoon that ran last week to talk about how I'm seeing that it must be terrible to be a moderate Republican because you're just seeing the party that you love and you grew up with kind of dissolve around you while the kind of the loudmouths kind of define who you are. So that was one side of it. But then there's also the notion that if this carries on, of course, we know in politics things can change very fast. But the fortunes of of Republicans who they thought they were going to kind of be able to take on Obama and knock him down pretty easily the more these loudmouths take over, the less I think the chance that the party's going to win.
So you do your work for The Economist as well.
Right.
And that focuses more on international European issues than it does things happening in America, or does it?
Well, it's a good combination. The Economist's worldwide circulation is approaching 2 million, and half of that is in the United States. So we
– I get it.
And yeah, do you? Fantastic. But we can do a lot of U.S. Focused things, but I don't like to do that all the time because the magic of The Economist, I think, is that its perspective, even though when they look at America, is a perspective from abroad. And I like to also I'm very interested in what's going on around the globe, and so I'll probably do more U.S. central stuff for The Sun and do more international stuff for The Economist.
So what is and just going back to the Sun here for just a minute, I'm curious what you alluded to it in the beginning of our conversation, what it feels like to go back to The Sun. I mean, because in many ways it is, because of the nature of the business, a withered institution. It doesn't have the depth it had in terms of reporters. It's just not, you know, we got one Julie Sharper who does a great job. There's one woman at the City Hall, and there used to be like four or five people at City Hall and all the other things. I mean, it's very different even from 6 years ago.
It is. One of the things I've noticed, Mark, which actually fills me with great contentment is when I'm back at the paper, the amount of journalists who come up to me and said they're so delighted that I'm there. And it's in part because I think having a cartoonist back in a newspaper makes you feel like you're at a newspaper again.
Because that used to be a staple of every paper in the country almost. There were lots
yeah.
of you working.
Yes.
How many are working now?
Oh, gosh. We went from about 200, some people think, 25 years ago to under 70 now.
Yeah, there's still that many. There's still 70.
Well, struggling 70.
Right.
Yeah.
I was – I mean I'm looking at some of the stuff you do for The Economist. These are important little pieces because they are – when you have the American soldiers, one saying, what do our chances of success look like? Walking across this kind of rickety bridge across this ravine, says a little ropey, but a rope bridge and going across the peaks towards a stable Afghanistan. I mean it's – that's where you have a chance. These pieces can be very poignant.
Yes. And
they're not always about sticking it to somebody.
You know, I think it's like running a talk show, Mark, over a course of a week. You're familiar with this thing is that if you're having a conversation with people over a period of time, you like to vary up your subject matter. You like to vary up your approaches. So some days you do something light. Some days you do something serious. Some days international. Some days local. And that's what I've been in a long conversation. Mark, I've published over 7,000 cartoons.
In your career?
In my career.
Wow.
And that you feel like every single one of those cartoons is a sentence, is part of a long conversation.
Yes. No, it is.
Yeah.
So, I'm just curious. I hate it when people ask me this question. So maybe I should be asking you, because they always go, what was your favorite show?
Then
thousands of shows. I can make a favorite show. But when you think about – I just think about this Afghanistan drawing you did for The Economist.
Yeah.
When – what are some of the moments that were – some of the hardest for you to draw, events that happened that really, you know, it's one thing to go after a politician for being stupid and the things they say and what they're doing to us, but things that really affected you.
About the month after 9/11 was the toughest time in my profession. It was a tough time for all of us for a multitude of reasons. I had a space both in The Sun and The Economist, which I knew was going to get a lot of eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
You knew the element of humor was going to evacuate, at least for a moment. At that time, you didn't know how long from the discussion. And you were going to be wearing a more somber hat, but also, an important, place to not only tell your point of view, but also maybe a channel a lot of the your readers' views and feelings at the same time. So making sure that you did cartoons that weren't too kitsch, that weren't too sentimental, mm-hmm. and really also not too jingoistic, because we know where that can go,
right.
Was kind of an interesting balance. And I had to harness all of my decades of experience in this craft and of studying cartoonists throughout history to see how they managed in these times, to use that as kind of a source of inspiration. And I remember the day on 9/11, I did two cartoons. I did one for The Sun and one for The Economist. They happened
ones.
To be different ones. And it turned out it was my press day for The Economist. But both cartoons had a different perspective, because one was the view from abroad and the other one was view from a wounded American city, country, and citizen. And so I was drawing on a lot of things. And then in the weeks that followed, Mark, we were waiting for humor to find its way back in. And humor, of course, is a medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important thing. It's something that separates men from the animals, is that the ability to laugh. And sure enough, it did find its way back in. And I think cartoons kind of helped lead the way there. So that was a really trying time.
And before we have to end this little brief episode between us, and looking forward to having you back for a longer spell with us, when you think of those cartoons that you wrote, that you think — this may be really difficult to ask or even answer, but may have had an effect, something that had an effect because a politician came after you, or had an effect because there was some response to it.
Well, you. It is awfully hard to get a full reckoning where you can quantify.
Yeah.
Certainly, I've had over the years lots of people come back to me and say, that cartoon that you did 8 years ago did X, Y, and Z. But the best story, Mark, I can tell you, was when I was at a fundraiser in town here, and a young woman walked up to me. She said, "Are you Cal?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You changed my life." And I went, "What? How did this happen?" And she said, "Well, you know, you came to visit my high school when I was about 16, and got interested, heard you, and then I went back, and after that we started cutting your cartoons out in the paper every morning, discussing them over the breakfast table with my
wow.
parents. I got more and more interested in politics and so on, and then I went down to college and went up as a political major, then went on to law school, graduated, and now I'm working as clerking for a judge, and it was all because of your cartoons." And I said, "Well,
wow.
you know, if that's probably the best present that I could have gotten about maybe changing people's lives."
It'll be fun from time to time just to have you come on as you do these cartoons to go behind the drawing and the few words and
yes.
hear what you've really been pondering, what built yourself to that point.
I'll be happy to do that. Plus, I've got lots of cool projects. I've been traveling a lot for the State Department, and I come back and
really?
Have some great stuff. You know, and
you were working with Arab journalists for a while, weren't you?
I have been. You know, I was in the Middle East. I've been in Russia and in China, doing lots of sort of freedom of expression conversations. It's been really fun.
I want to hear more about that. Cal, it's always good to see you, my friend.
Mark, always a pleasure. Glad to be back.
And well, I'm glad you are back. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com.